The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Huge day in the NFL.
And a story that could shift the entire landscape of the NFL.
Fired Dolphins head coach Brian Flores has filed a class action lawsuit alleging that the league has discriminated against him and other black coaches for racial reasons.
When you look at the number of coaches who are fired and hired, it's always more white coaches than black.
The fact that you have to have a rule to interview minority coaches is a problem.
Bottom line is there's no diversity in ownership.
It's not going to change unless these guys get out of their own comfort zone.
This was a great day of sacrifice for Coach Flores, and I literally tip my cap to him.
I don't have the energy or the right words to use in this particular situation. I'm done.
Jalen Rose, I am David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
2-2-22.
We get a people! What? They want bombshell news from the NFL. Former Dolphins head coach Brian Flores has filed a class action lawsuit about 24 hours ago. By now, you know all of the details. We will be breaking down all the allegations. However, he was on Get Up this morning, and here's what he said about the hiring environment in the NFL for head coaches.
The league's filled with 70% of, you know, black players. I know there are capable coaches in this league to lead teams. I have some on my staff. I know the majority of them, I would say. I know what kind of integrity and character and leadership that they have, and they deserve an opportunity, a real opportunity, not a Rooney Rule opportunity where a box is checked.
Jalen, how do you feel after digesting the lawsuit and seeing Mr. Flores this morning?
I'm a major NFL fan, and like many, I'm not gonna act like because this happened, I won't watch the Super Bowl, because I am. And unfortunately, the reason why I'm still a little numb, Jacoby, is because I'm not surprised. And the Rooney Rule was instituted in the early 2000s because the lack of diversity that was taking place in interview rooms in positions of power. That's coaches, that's coordinators, offensive and defensive. That's even assistant coaches in a lot of ways. But to change the dynamics of power, it starts from the top down. And when you look at the ownership in all of professional sports, yes, the NFL is 70% black, but there's zero black owners. And as you continue to trickle that power dynamic down, it's GM, it's president, it's head coach. There's one current black head coach in the NFL. He's Mike Tomlin. And you know what he's done? Never had a losing season, has won a Super Bowl, handles himself with pristine professionalism. Yes, we look at him as a model for success. It seems like when you see the way he's been able to rally his teams and lead a franchise, it's no accident to me that it's with the Pittsburgh Steelers, the team whose owner, Art Rooney, instituted the rule, and it's named after him. A model franchise that's basically had three or four coaches in the last 40 or 50 years. And so for Brian Flores, I applaud him, Jacoby, because as we look at the NFL statement, it says, without merit at the end. Did they do an investigation since Tuesday?
No.
How do they know it's without merit? And also, if your workforce is 70% black, it seemed like you would want people to speak their language, to look like them, to inspire them. And for that not to happen in this current hiring cycle, there are multiple jobs out there. Before the Brian Flores news happens, how many days do we talk about the Kansas City Chiefs? And every time I say, wait a minute, why isn't Eric Bieniemy's name at the bottom of the ticker? Because somebody just gave him a blank check to coach their football team. For the coaches that got hired this offseason, they have no coaching experience. None. So if you're Eric Bieniemy, Jacoby, and this is how we see it, we have to be the elite in order to get even an opportunity or a fair shot. And that's not just football. That's in multiple major industries. But as we talk about football, you would think Eric Bieniemy would be on the first list of every team to be interviewed. And so when that doesn't happen, it continues to highlight what Brian Flores is talking about. He's a courageous man, Jacoby. This man loves football. You seen that passion in his eyes on Get Up? I like how he showed up. He showed up. He ain't ducking. He ain't running. He ain't hiding. You know what that means for somebody that looks like me to do what he did? That means he ain't getting hired again. Now, just think about this. You would think him highlighting this means that someone would say, I'm going to give him an opportunity because he had a winning record as a coach. He beat Bill Belichick twice this year. He won, what, 8-1 his last 9 games? I'm going to give him a shot. But you know why he's not going to get a shot, Jacoby? And then I'll let you move it to the next chapter of this story. He's not going to get a shot because there are no owners that look like him. Because if they were, he would get another shot.
We'll discuss Flores' future in a second, but I'm glad you brought up the Rooney Rule, because there's a lot of times when you're in a head coaching search, you say, oh, well, we interviewed a diverse external candidate, so we checked that box, we got that done. However, in one specific case, his interview with the New York Giants, in a weird twist, a gentleman by the name of Bill Belichick got involved. We've seen it by now. He was texting back and forth with Flores. However, he thought he was texting back and forth with Brian Daboll when he said, both the Giants and Buffalo have told me that you are their guy. However, this was before Flores' second interview. Now, this is a bit of a smoking gun. If Belichick knows that Daboll is going to be the head coach before Flores' second interview, are they interviewing him for the position, or are they satisfying what they need to do to check that box in the Rooney Rule?
Didn't 50 Cent have a song that once went like, use a window shopper?
Yes.
You remember that record?
Of course.
So Bill Belichick is the plug's plug. So I'm not surprised that he would know that a team that he used to coach for in the New York Giants, that he would know who they're going to hire as their next coach. I'm not disparaging him for that. I'm disparaging the spirit of the Rooney Rule, because this highlights why it's been a mockery, and why since it's been instituted, over 120 coaching opportunities have been offered or available. But only 15 of those, 15, were black candidates. And you use the term, checking a box. That's where I come with the window shopping. So let me get this right. I got an interview for this job in 3 days, but they already know who they giving the gig to, but they just bringing me in as an exercise. That now becomes something of equity with this lawsuit. That's not just hearsay. That's not something you could dispute. That's a distinct example of how the New York Giants administered the Rooney Rule just because they wanted to check a box, not because this was a legitimate person they were trying to hire, because they knew 3 days before they interviewed him who was going to get the job.
And of course, it was Bill Belichick, of all people, texting the wrong person. We've all texted the wrong person, and Bill Belichick, you could tell from his follow-up text when he was called out that he immediately regretted it. And then what did Brian Flores respond with?
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks, Bill. Well, there's also allegations against the Denver Broncos. In 2019, he interviewed for the head coaching job with the Denver Broncos, and he alleges that the Broncos front office showed up an hour late and also admitted to drinking heavily the evening before and seemed disheveled. Now, this doesn't have the sort of smoking gun that the Giants interview has, but it is another sort of demonstration of how the Rooney Rule is being used by these front offices and not necessarily being taken seriously, the candidates that are being interviewed.
I'll give you another artist. How about the Queen Aretha? R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Respect. As you mentioned, those gentlemen can dispute their state and whether they were actually taking this interview serious or not. But here's what I know and you know. If they thought that this was legitimately going to be their head coach, they wouldn't have behaved this way. Mm. We know that. Now, is it because of the color of his skin that they didn't take it serious? Is it because that they didn't believe that he was going to get the job, so they didn't approach it with a level of professionalism, is the word I want to use. There are going to be a lot of people that do things the night before, but that shouldn't affect the next day, especially when you're overseeing a franchise. And that's one of the worst things sometimes, Jacoby, when people have the term leader as a title, but they don't behave as such. And this is not something that you would want John Elway, who's in a position of leadership at the time, president of the organization, or whoever that's conducting this meeting, to not put their best foot forward when they're trying to interview a candidate to oversee the now for sale Denver Broncos, which brings me to the topic of, this is a great chance for minority ownership, NFL. We know we're going to be represented on the field 70%. We know we're going to be represented at the halftime show. But what about ownership, positions of power? It's going to be interesting to see how that dynamic plays out.
Now, Jalen, there's also some allegations against the Dolphins, and I'll just summarize quickly. He said that the owner encouraged him to tamper with a prominent quarterback, we can all guess who that is, and also offered him $100,000 per loss to improve their draft position. Now, Jalen, considering all of this, and considering the implications of this on his career, what do you think about the sacrifice of Flores and his career's future in the NFL?
So, Jacoby, in many professions, since you can look at the Forbes list, you can look at the Fortune 500 list, you got to look with a magnifying glass to find the black company on that list, which means that a lot of times we're not in the position of power. So a lot of times when we come to the table with our accolades, we have to be overqualified than our white counterparts. You can look at any industry. And for Brian Flores, he's proven that he's a great leader of men, that he's a terrific coach, in particular the second half of this season. And when you're being asked to lose, this is why I didn't like the process in Philadelphia, for example. This is why I don't like load management, for example. Because we don't get the opportunity to take days off. We don't get the opportunity to take somebody else and give us the benefit of the doubt. I've been doing this job 20 years, and I'm pretty sure when I'm not around, people question why I'm doing it. And I'm educated to do it. I'm a veteran to do it. I've been playing a long time. I've been rubbing elbows with the best of the best and all of that. And so for Brian Flores, ain't no amount of money you can pay me to try to get me to lose. And by the way, if you're gonna offer me some money, and you know I'm friends with Stephen Ross, I got a lot of respect for him. He's a donor of the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy. He's from Detroit, went to Michigan. So you know I'm 10 toes down with what I say. And what I say here is, Brian Flores can't afford to lose on purpose. We don't get that luxury. And I appreciate the fact that he still went out throughout the Deshaun Watson rumors, through the turbulence of the team starting 1-7. He beat Bill Belichick twice this year. He was 8-1 his last 9 games. He proved to me he deserved this opportunity, and I applaud him that he stood on the table, died on his sword, so to speak, like Colin Kaepernick, in order to get 58 pages of very articulate, very disciplined. This wasn't like rash. This wasn't like knee-jerk. This wasn't like emotional. This was carefully crafted and thought out. So I applaud him and his family, and now he's gonna be somebody that hopefully now creates an avenue for other black candidates to be taken serious.
Very well put, Jalen. We will be discussing the Flores story as it develops in future days, but right now we have to turn our attention back to the football field and the future of that man, Jimmy Garoppolo. Is he gonna be on the 49ers next year? Probably not. Where should he play football? We'll discuss right after this. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby. Coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck here at Pier 17, the Seaport District of New York City. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Anthony Rose. Jimmy Garoppolo just lost the NFC Championship game for the 49ers. However, the expectation is that he will not return as the 49ers starting quarterback. He said he wants to be traded somewhere that wants to win. What is the best fit for Jimmy G next season?
So here's the deal for Jimmy G. I do want to applaud the fact that when he's under center, his teams do win. When he's under center, his teams do win. Now they're not necessarily winning because of him, but I want to give him that credit. Deebo Samuel was outstanding, terrific this year. Kittle, fantastic tight end, probably second best in the league. If they had a dynamic quarterback with the 49ers, I believe they'd still be playing. Mm. And so when you draft Trey Lance, Jimmy G's out. So let's win the press conference for a second. What team and fan base is going to be happy to acquire him? What team is going to celebrate him coming to their franchise? None. Nobody's going to celebrate it. He's going to be looked at as a placeholder. You can put him in New Orleans. You can put him in Denver.
Pittsburgh.
You can Pittsburgh put him in Pittsburgh. You can put him with the Buccaneers. You can put him wherever. People are going to be like, mid, meh. And so I applaud that he still has the opportunity to be a starting quarterback. He did lead them to a Super Bowl. They did get to the NFC Championship this year. But when he goes to his next destination, they're going to look at him like he's holding the spot for the next guy to come after him.
And I think that's fair. And it feels like Jimmy G has been holding the spot for the next guy for the past 2 years and will continue to do so probably for the rest of his career, even though the teams do win, as you mentioned, when he is under center. Well, one of the teams that potentially could be adding Jimmy G to the roster just added a new name to their franchise. And that, of course, I'm talking about is the Washington Football Team is no more there. Now the Washington Commanders, Jalen. This is a terrible, terrible, terrible decision. Of all the nouns in the world, Commanders is what you came up with? Commanders? I saw the list of potentials. Commanders was probably my least favorite of all of them. I'd prefer Football Team to Commanders.
It's so militaristic. And I know they were trying to, like, draw off of the power of being in Washington, D.C., where sure. The White House is and all of that kind of stuff.
The Pentagon.
But this name is whack.
It's whack.
That's the only, my W is for whack. That's how I feel about this name.
It's just whack.
That's
There's
all
nothing
it
good
is.
About it. I don't even understand it. It also feels like they're going to have to change this one in 20 years because people are going to say exactly. That it is also sort of like exactly. Not politically correct. They're going to end up doing that in 20 years. Remember I said that in 2022, but they change it in 2042. Jalen, moving on to the hardwood. I stayed up way past my bedtime watching this game last night. And of course, I'm talking about the matchup in Phoenix between the Nets without KD, but with Harden and Kyrie. Going up against the Suns. It was kind of close, but the Suns eventually pulled away with their firepower and their defense. What did you take away from this matchup?
What I take away from this matchup? No surprises with the Suns. Once they fortified their interior, whether they're healthy or not, they got like four or five guys that can play quality minutes alongside Ayton. on the interior. So now that frees up their young players to be like slashing wings that can guard people and switch out on the perimeter, like Cam and like Mikal Bridges, who's been fantastic this season and was in that game. But their backcourt has been superior. Mm-hmm. They've been the best backcourt in the league this year, CP3 and D-Book. That's why I had CP3 as a starter in this year's All-Star game on my ballot. And D-Book's effectiveness and his efficiency has been outstanding this year. The Phoenix Suns have distinguished themselves in the NBA.
Oh, they are the best team in the NBA, and there is no 1A in my book, pun intended, because of what they do on both sides of the floor. And as you mentioned, Devin Booker or CP3 should have been an All-Star starter. However, they will both be named as reserves come Thursday night. Jalen, when we come back, we have a very special message from you regarding the significance of this day. You don't want to miss it. Stay tuned. You're watching Jalen Jacoby. Doubleheader tonight on ESPN, starting with the Grizzlies going to MSG to take on the Knicks at 7:30, and then in the nightcap at 10 p.m. it is the MVP, Nikola Jokic, and the Nuggets taking on the Jazz. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, today has significance to you beyond Groundhog Day, obviously. Please explain.
As you know, it's been a tough, 3 or 4 years for my family and I. And it's because we lost not only loved ones, but matriarchs in our family. Paramore Hicks Jr., my uncle, you've heard me tell the story about him saving me drowning in the pool. My earth angel, Mary Bell Hicks, my grandmother at 103 years of age. My bodyguard 2 years ago, February 3rd, my brother, William Lee Rose, and then a year ago today, my mother, the Queen Jeannie Cassandra Rose. We love and miss you dearly, Ma. And on this day, I want to do what I can to make sure I uphold your legacy, because I know all of you guys are looking down on me and really proud of me. So I love and miss you guys, and see you tomorrow. J&J fam, love.
Say we give the people what they want. Part of that is giving the people podcast exclusive content. Jalen,
what up, dog?
Something tells me that we are not done discussing the Brian Flores lawsuit against the NFL, but now that we're on pod exclusive, we can discuss a little more openly because the executives aren't listening or watching. And this is something that is not surprising whatsoever. These sort of things happen in the background often, and I think a lot of people, which is why Mr. Flores needs to be celebrated today for his courageousness and being brave, a lot of people would not want to jeopardize the potential tens of millions of dollars and decades of lucrative work doing what he loves the way that Mr. Flores did yesterday by filing this lawsuit. But it is his hope, I imagine, and ours, that this will be a landmark day in a turn to what leads to more people of color in positions of power, not just in the NFL, but around the country. But this reminded me of something that you said a lot, and we both said a lot during the sort of racial reckoning of two summers ago, which was every company put out a statement, every company dedicated a certain amount of money to diversity and inclusion, or certain funds that they were gonna donate to, and black-owned businesses, and talked about how they were gonna change their hiring practices. But one thing that you said that I echoed was, let's check back in. Let's check back in 5 years, in 10 years. After when it's not just the PR department that's in charge of this, when it's the actual hiring practices and real diversity and positions of power in the C-suite and the corner offices. And I think that what Mr. Flores experienced is that you can put end racism in a little thing in the end zone, or in the back of my neck on the helmet, it can say, it takes all of us, right? Or one of these other approved messages. But if it takes all of us to end racism, doesn't that also mean the people in positions of power that are making decisions in the NFL, aren't they part of all of us?
Yes, aren't sir, they? Well said. And also, Jacoby, Nights like this, I wish raindrops would fall.
Okay.
And let me tell you why I went there. One black head coach in the NFL, Mike Tomlin, 12% of offensive coordinators are black, 34% of defensive coordinators are black, 70% of players are black. 0% of owners are black. And when Brian Flores does this lawsuit, let me define for everyone while we're acknowledging this was basically career suicide and while we're celebrating his courage and his strength. We know he's not getting another job, not because he can't coach or not because what he did was wrong. He's not gonna coach again, Jacoby, because there aren't any black owners.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he's not going to coach again. And so,
I think it's important to say in the NFL, because I do believe that he will get a high profile coaching job in college.
In the NFL, well said, correct. And 3-2-1, that should probably happen this offseason. Michigan, get him on the phone. Y'all know Jim Harbaugh leaving, gotta take that money. With that being said, there have been, the Rooney Rule was instituted early 2000s. I remember I was in the league then. And there was a celebration for it. And I'm gonna tell you, the same celebration reminded me of when I saw the name, image, and likeness conversation starts to happen and people were celebrating them. What those checks at? Remember we was celebrating the name, image, and likeness and how players were gonna, you know how that market got suppressed? Let me tell you how that market got suppressed. The businesses, the Fortune 500 companies, Jacoby, they rather be in business with the school than the player, because the player only gonna be there 1 or 2 years. That's one. Two, you're getting a secondary market for players because all of the top players now are either going to work out for a year and enter the draft, going overseas to play and go in the draft, going to the G League and play to the draft. Very few like Imani Bates are going to college. And now when you look back at his decision, people are wondering if that was even the right choice. We're going to see a couple of people sprinkle here and there. Paige Buckets with UConn got her deal. There's going to be a couple sprinkle here and there. But the impact that was celebrated for what we thought was labor in a predominantly black sport, college basketball, we thought that those young athletes were going to actually be able to cash in. You see them cashing in?
Mm-mm. I don't see a lot of millionaires. I haven't seen a lot of millionaires being made from name, image, and likeness deals in college.
How many times have people asked you, just you, how much you think Jalen and the Fab Five would have made if name, image, and likeness would have existed when they were in college? The reason why they're asking you that, and the reason why they're asking me that, is because we made ourselves bigger than the box the university put us in. Let me give y'all some game. There's a reason why at Michigan, you don't see nothing licensed by the school that they promote and advertise that says Fab Five. The only reason why, same with the Big Ten Network, the only reason why is because they don't own it. Same with Bad Boys, NBA, and the Detroit Pistons. It's because they don't own it. So what ends up happening is when you step out of the box of their control, and I mean dollars and cents, they ignore your existence. And so current players, when we say, hey, the Fab Five, for example, would have been able to get this amount of money. Well, you got to remember, the Fab Five was ostracized and vilified by the public and by the media also.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that came with a price. You know what I'm saying? That wasn't just like, you know, oh, they're really good at basketball, we're going to show them love. That came at a price that I had to outgrow. There are people that see me now I ain't gonna lie, I see myself now, and I look in the mirror at the kid that was in college, I'm like, man, I grew up a lot. You know what I'm saying? And so I bring that back to the Rooney Rule in the NFL because I wanna give a teaching point for everybody. Basketball and football are predominantly black sports by the participants. The two most powerful mediums to navigate how that word gets disseminated and how equality and fairness happens in two different distinct places. Positions of power, that's NCAA, NBA, that's college football, that's NFL, and then it also in media. Because in media, Jacoby, when you get a chance, and Brian Flores did this on his 58-page document that was extremely well done. He basically did the Facebook, like small screens, like a Zoom, of like how there's a lack of diversity. And when you see the visual, it just makes it obvious. You could do the same thing with certain standards in the media as it relates to those two sports. And what ends up happening is, in order to do what I do, and to do what we do, it's important for us to be fair and highlight this. And so, Brian Flores, and I'm glad you pointed this out, 3-2-1 should be coaching in college soon, yep, and doing a really good job. But I will say, the Rooney Rule got instituted in the early 2000s, and 129 jobs were available. 15 of those went to black candidates. And look no further to me than Eric Bieniemy. Because the reason why I bring Eric Bieniemy in, and I want to mention Mike Tomlin, is because that is what my mother used to tell me when I was young. That we got to be two times better to get half as far sometime. And at some point, we have to put blinders on and understand that that exists and accept it while we're still on the road to glory. And when 129 jobs become available and only 15 get filled by black candidates, and I see a Mike Tomlin has to have 15 straight years of winning records to have his job, and it's for the Pittsburgh Steelers, who initially, their owner, Art Rooney, is the person that championed the Rooney Rule. That's clearly why it's named after him. Brian Flores was 8-1 in his last 9 games. He did a good job, man. He did a good job.
I mean, he was winning games. It was clearly, if you read between the lines of the lawsuit, clearly what happened was is he didn't want to adhere to certain practices that the ownership group wanted him to adhere to. Namely, losing games on purpose, which we've debated in the past, which is just never a good idea for a franchise. B, tampering. And we all know that the high-profile quarterback that's not named in the lawsuit, we know who that is, someone who used to work with Mr. Flores, and there was an alleged incident in which Flores was invited to a yacht to have lunch with Mr. Ross, the owner. And it just so happens that that prominent quarterback was also going to coincidentally be at the marina at the same time, essentially setting up Flores to tamper, which is against the rules of the NFL. And Flores, in his words, left and did not engage in these practices. And when you heard about the Flores firing, two things happened. Number one, you're like, that's interesting, because for all everything I see in the football field, he's doing a good job coaching this team, getting the most out of the players that he has. And secondly, everybody that had a vacant coaching position said to themselves, I'd love to have Brian Flores there. Every fan base that has a vacant coaching position said, I would love to have Brian Flores. I'm on text threads with all my Giants fan friends being like, let's get Brian Flores in the building right now. And he had the opportunity. Now, another thing I want to say is, we've got the Bill Belichick text, which is like, it's depressing and it's saddening, but that's not 100%. There's like 15% of it that I just find hilarious. Because we've all texted the wrong person, you know what I mean? Like, I've never done anything like really bad, but we've all texted the wrong person sometimes. And man, when imagine being Bill Belichick with all of his successes and all the things that he's done right, the attention to detail that he uses to prepare his team for game plans each and every week, the championships that he has celebrated. Imagine the feeling in his stomach when he realized that he was texting the wrong Brian. And then yesterday, realizing that those texts were screenshotted, and so one of the biggest points of evidence, if not the, of the whole entire lawsuit against the NFL. Come on, Bill. Come on, Bill.
And also, like, I want to make sure I acknowledge this. When we talk about, like, not being included and not being in position of power, let me give you a perfect example during this Belichick text exchange that highlights that. Basically, powerful coach who happens to be the white guy that I used to work for, he knows my destiny before I do.
Yep.
Number one. Number two, he's controlling and knowing about my destiny indirectly, and I don't even work for him no more. Number two. Number three, this ain't even us talking about the Dolphins. This us talking about the Giants, a team that he used to coach for. So let me get this right. Y'all checking a box to do my Rooney Rule interview in 3 days when Bill Belichick already knows who y'all hired.
Mm-hmm.
So why are y'all wasting my time, my dime, my professional acumen to parade me in for window shopping,
Doug,
to do an interview?
Do you know what bothered me? And I think this detail came out on Get Up this morning. It was the dinner part too. Like, it wasn't just the meeting. It was like, oh, so now we gotta get in cars, go to a steakhouse, have drinks. The owner orders appetizers for the table. Get that stupid $400 seafood tower over here. You know what I mean? And I got to spend 2.5 hours, coffee and dessert afterwards, talking to y'all, laughing to y'all, giving up my game of what I would do with your roster and your team, knowing that you have no interest in hiring me whatsoever. And I have a question. I don't have this data in front of me, right? But here's what I want. If we had a researcher, here's what I would ask him. Of those 129 head coaching jobs that have been available since the Rooney Rule, how many teams, and I'm sure there were some, interviewed multiple external diverse candidates? How many interviewed multiple diverse? Of the 129, how many interviewed one? How many interviewed two? How many interviewed three? Because some tell me if we put the percentages up there, I'm guessing. I'm not going to guess because I don't want to put numbers on something I don't know. But some tells me that the team, of those 129, some tells me a large majority of those interviewed one diverse external candidate.
Great point, David Jacoby. And if I had to do an over-under, since we do a lot of gambling, right off the 100. Top, my 100. Over, my 100.
100, easy. That's the
right
easy.
Off top.
I'm taking the over too.
Right. And I was about to say 110.
Well, we'll get the biggest odds makers on this. We should, Demetrius, if you're listening to this, let's just email research now so we can have that for tomorrow, okay? Email research now. That's I would love one. To know.
That's a great point. That's a those great numbers. Point. That's a great point. That's a great
and,
point.
And we have the Bill Belichick tech smoking gun for the Giants situation. There's a similar situation in Denver, right?
I got to ask you one other question. Ask you one other question before you go to Denver. Of those 129 jobs, how many interviewed multiple white candidates?
129. What are you talking about? I mean, you don't even gotta ask. 129. I mean, what's Vegas got the over under at? Like,
128 and a half?
128 and a half? Yeah, duh. Like, seriously, I'm not kidding either.
I'm not either. That's what I asked you. The over-under is 128 and a half, and I'm going over.
Yeah, unless there's some loophole where, like, they already had their candidate and they just interviewed someone to satisfy the Rooney Rule and moved on with their goddamn lives, but whatever. Denver. So John Elway and his cohorts in the front office of the Denver Broncos have what I assume is a morning meeting with Mr. Flores, I assume. And this is the part that gets me. It's in person, I'm assuming in Denver. Flores probably up late. He's probably up late preparing a PowerPoint. You know what I mean? Like he's like working on the words and the grammar and really just like nervous about the interview, could change his life. He hasn't been a head coach yet. This is 2019. And so he's going hard on prep. And what are the Broncos front office doing? Hanging out, allegedly drinking. And it's the hour late part for me too. Like, listen, you don't have to be as focused on this interview as I do because you've got the job and I'm trying to get the job. But hour late, wherever it was, breakfast meeting, at the facility, in a conference room, wherever this was, Brian Flores is sitting there for 50 minutes and hasn't seen a single face. And then allegedly they show up and they're less than enthusiastic and attentive and allegedly hungover and admitted to drinking the night before. And I'd find a drink the night before, but all those other details really bother me about that one.
Well, a couple of things bother me about this. By the way, the Denver Broncos are currently for sale. This is a great opportunity to get some minority ownership in there. And after this news, John Elway, I'm pretty sure he won't be the president when they get a new owner.
Oh, he will, guaranteed. How many people on the other side of that table do you think looked like Mr. Flores when he was in the meeting?
None. Maybe one.
Maybe one.
They might sneak in one. Maybe sneak one. Just think back to the draft. Whenever you get confused, just think of the virtual draft.
The virtual draft.
Those are crazy.
The first thing I noticed during the virtual draft. I was looking at these draft rooms like, whoa. I see a lot of people that look like me, like literally look like me. Like look like they've never played professional sports.
In the war rooms, you know? Absolutely. But here's the main thing I want to say. And I'm not talking about stuff that you frequently do. So I'm not talking about like us doing this show Monday through Friday. I'm not talking about you going to work Monday through Friday. I'm not talking about you taking your kids Monday through Friday. Like things that you have to do 250 times a year. When you have to do something 200 times a year, there are gonna be times when you're late, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, when you're only interviewing like three or four people a year, like this should be extremely important.
Yeah.
And there are gonna be people that minimize the fact that they were 50 minutes late. But let me teach everybody something about going after the opportunity that you want. When you ain't on time, that means you don't respect mine. That's how it's received. And there's one thing to be casually late, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, oh, I'm running late, 15 minutes.
Send a text.
Whatever, right? It happens. Life happens.
Accidents on the highway, stuff like that, train stopping in between stations, stuff happens.
Life happens. But don't now show up with coffee in y'all hand 50 minutes late, talking to me about y'all hungover. You know what I'm saying? Because that now shows me that you took some time, I'm pretty sure, to stop and get more coffee. You know what I'm saying? Pretty sure somebody had some coffee, some tea, some espresso, something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't value me enough to not only be on time, but seemingly be unapologetic about it by letting me know that you was out getting it in the night before. Now, if you're gonna be late, you gotta be attentive when you arrive. It can't be in hungover mode. You can't do that. And so,
oh, yeah. This was definitely wild. Like baseball hats and sunglasses. I can see the meeting already.
Yeah, that's
and
wild.
Giggles about how much fun they had last night.
Yes.
And I can see it. And the thing is you said John Elway will lose his job. That ain't gonna happen, dog. Because John Elway right now is on the phone with the owner saying that's not how it went down. I wasn't late. Here's the details of the meeting we had the day before about Flores. Here's how we prepared. Here's how seriously we took it. He's just mad because we didn't hire him. And the thing is, there's no Bill Belichick text that's going to be the smoking gun that's going to make that stick to him.
No, the reason why I say John Elway won't be retained, fam, is that he doesn't currently have an owner.
Yeah.
They're about to sell the team. So when they sell the team, ain't no way the new ownership is going to be able to retain him and expect him to go recruit players in the league to 70% black after what Brian Flores said. So you might as well fire him now.
Back to Flores. Major college program hires an NFL coach that's proved on the field that they have what it takes, right? It also proved great character and courageousness and bravery and fight for justice. If I am a big recruit coming out of high school trying to pick which college I want to go to, that plays in my living room with my parents and my guardians and myself and my beliefs and my character. There are a lot more, if you look at the top 100, a lot more of them look like you than look like me and look like Mr. Flores.
You ready
look
for
like
this?
Mr. Harbaugh.
You ready for this? I got you. You threw out one option major college program and they got the blank check. But if he's not going for the blank check, HBCU. Just like we saw with Deion Sanders and his son and the impact they had at Jackson State, Brian Flores, if he does not get a job at a TWI, that's a traditionally white institution, I'm hoping that he'll get a gig at an HBCU. Stay tuned.
I've never heard TWI before. Is that something that you just is that what? Oh, predominantly white institution.
PWI.
This sounds like all the white listeners, there's certain things that you hear sometimes. Like, oh, this is like one of those phrases that y'all use when we're not in the room, and we appreciate you using those right here on Jalen and Jacoby, educating our white listeners as well, because we have a very diverse listening group. We appreciate our podcast listeners. We always get to go a little deeper into the issues on the podcast. You get the real here. Tell your friend to tell a friend to follow the podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts. This Flores story is not over. We'll be back tomorrow to cover it and everything that happens in a packed NBA schedule tonight on a Wednesday. Why is that, Mr. Jalen Anthony Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We are not done. You got